Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Bismillahi walhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Welcome back to another session of the Message of the Quran, where every single day we go through and discuss the meaning of one juz, the message from one juz of the Quran. And we do it in the sequence of, it's the juz that is usually and typically recited within the Taraweeh prayers later that night. So it very conveniently serves that purpose and that benefit of giving you an understanding of the meaning and the message so that inshallah you are able to follow along with the Quran, follow along with the recitation, and be able to comprehend and grasp the message as it is being recited, inshallah binillah. So today we're going to be covering juz number 23. Juz number 23. All right, so I want everyone to make a note of that we're going to be covering juz number 23. And before I go into sharing more details with y'all about juz number 23, I wanted to take a moment to draw everyone's attention to hhrd.org/qalam. That link, I want everyone to go to the link that you see right here, hhrd.org/qalam. All right. That is the link where you can donate and you can contribute to helping and providing essential, necessary relief to Muslims all across the world, from putting, you know, providing people shelter, providing food, taking care of orphans. There are two really awesome efforts that they've been doing this Ramadan. Number one is addressing the food shortage and food insecurity of so many of our Muslim, you know, brothers and sisters all around the world. And number two is sponsoring orphans and providing home and shelter and support and upbringing for orphans. So inshallah, hhrd.org/qalam. Please go there and donate and give generously. So we're going to be covering today juz number 23. Juz number 23 is a lot of times referred to as Wamaliya, right? That's the first verse that basically occurs there in a lot of the prints of the Mus'haf. Nonetheless, juz number 23 has 357 verses. It has 357 verses. There are just a couple of juz that have more verses than that. Juz number 27, 29, and 30. That's it. It is the fourth largest juz in terms of the number of verses. But it basically is the same physical size as a lot of the other ajza. same number of pages. Why are there so many more verses? Because this surah, this juz, has chapters, has surahs inside of it that have very short verses. Surah As-Saffat, Surah Sad, very short, rapid verses. And so that's why there's an accumulation of 357 verses. Okay? Now, what surahs are contained within juz number 23? Surah number 36, Surah Yasin. Surah number 37, called Surah As-Saffat, the Rose of Angels. Surah number 38, Surah Sad. And we have Surah number 39, which is Surah Az-Zumar. Surah Az-Zumar, which again refers to people being led in rows and in groups to paradise, and also people being led in groups to the fire of hell. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are taken in groups to the gardens of paradise. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Okay, so that's a little bit about the layout of this particular juz number 23. And hopefully everyone is able to make note of that. Now, let's talk about some of the pertinent, messages from, some of the message from this particular juz that we can discuss, that we can think about, that we can reflect upon. Okay, so the first thing that I'll point out is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning of this juz, in Surah Yasin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends both the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also defends the authenticity of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defends both the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Quran. How so? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that by saying something very beautiful, very powerful here in this beginning of the juz, in the portion that is Surah Yasin, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ, that we did not teach him, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says, we did not teach him poetry, nor is it appropriate for him. Poetry is not fitting, is not suitable for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this brings about a little bit of a question, and that is there something wrong with poetry? I thought many scholars write poetry and scholars quote poetry all the time. And there's all this beautiful poetry about Islamic themes, like the Diwan of a Shafi'i. Imam Shafi'i has so much beautiful poetry about spirituality. Then you have, even in the more, in the more recent era, you have people like Allama Iqbal, right? Iqbal, the poet of the subcontinent, who has beautiful poetry about so many important spiritual themes. So is poetry wrong? Is it bad? No, it is not. But what it is saying is that for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because revelation flows through him, because he is the vessel through which the Quran comes to us, so that's why it says that poetry is not appropriate and suitable for him, so that no one could ever be confused between the Quran and poetry. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ has no interaction with poetry. All right. In huwa illa dhikr. Everything you hear from the Prophet ﷺ is a reminder of God. Wa Qur'anun mubin. And of course, it is the clear, beautiful, evident, authentic Quran, right? So that's something very powerful that it says here in the beginning. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the big themes of this juz overall is the afterlife. One of the big themes of this juz is the afterlife. So at the end of Surah Yasin here, in this 23rd juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that one of the big issues that the Meccans, the Arabs, the Meccans, the Quraysh, the people at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, one of their big issues was that They just could not get themselves to believe. They just could not grasp believing in the hereafter, life after death. They said, we can't get on board with that. So in the 23rd juz, Allah tells us, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ قَالَ مَنْ يُحِي الْعِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. That one of the people of Quraysh, some say it was Abu Jahl or whoever it was, but it was one of these people of Quraysh who were always very harsh in their opposition to the Prophet ﷺ. He walks up to the Prophet ﷺ one day, and in his hand he's holding like this, you know, old bone of an animal that he finds on the ground. And then he takes the bone and he crumbles it up in front of the Prophet ﷺ and then blows it like dust. And then he says, so you're telling me, O Muhammad, you are telling me that God is going to bring this back to life? Really? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to the man saying that to the Prophet ﷺ. Allah responded. How did Allah respond? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded by saying, وَضَرَبَ لَنَا مَثَلًا. This guy comes to you and tries to debate you and challenge you and say, how can Allah bring this back to life? وَنَسِيَ خَلْقَهُ. And this foolish little creature, he forgets, where did he come from? How did he come into existence? قَالَ مَنْ يُحْلِ عِظَامَ وَهِيَ رَمِيمٌ. He says, who can bring these bones back to life once they've turned to dust? Allah says, قُلْ. Say to them, يُحْيِيهَا. I'll tell you who will bring it back to life. أَلَّذِي أَنْشَأَهَا أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٌ. The one who created it in the first place. Right? The one who created it in the first place. How did everything show up here? How did everything come into existence? How did the whole world, how does everything just exist and work perfectly? And so if you don't got an answer for that, and or you don't have a different answer for that, because there is only one answer, and that is Allah. But if you can't give me another answer for that, then guess what? The answer for resurrection, for the day of judgment, for the hereafter, is the same exact answer. Allah. Allah will do it. All right? And then it even says, أَوَلَيْسَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ. The one who created the heavens and the earth, the one who created this entire universe, بِقَادِرٍ عَلَىٰ أَن يَخْلُقَ مِثْلَهُمْ. You don't think he's capable of putting you back together again? Really? بَلَىٰ وَهُوَ الْخَلَاقُ. Of course he is. He is the great, the only creator. إِنَّمَا أَمْرُهُ. This is, for Allah, when he decides, when he decrees, when he wills for something to be, إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا أَن يَقُولَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُنْ. He says, be and it is. فَسُبْحَانَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ مَلَكُوتُ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. How absolutely perfect. Glory be to the one. In his hand alone is the ownership, the dominion of each and every single little last thing. وَإِلَيْهِ تُرْجَعُونَ. And to him alone are all of you returning. We are all on a journey going back to Allah. So that is the closing passage of Surah Yasin. Very, very powerful. Very, you know, creates a lot of perspective and very grounding in terms of belief and theology and spirituality. Okay, the next surah is called Surah As-Saffat. It's named after, you know, the rows and the ranks of the angels. Now, Surah As-Saffat has some stories within it. It talks about some of the stories of the prophets. And one of the most, I would venture to say, well-known stories, and one of the most identifiable stories, and definitely one of our most powerful and cherished stories, is the story of the sacrifice of Ibrahim and Ismail, alayhim as-salam. that Ibrahim alayhi salam was commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to sacrifice his son. And he spoke to his son, and his son said, we have to do what Allah said. And they go, and they are basically ready to go through with this and carry through with this. And at the last moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spares him from that sacrifice and says, instead, sacrifice this animal, sacrifice this ram. And then the animal is sacrificed instead. So Allah saves them from having to go through with it. But they definitely had the willingness, the conviction to go through with it. But Allah spared them that adversity. And only Allah knows how many millennia later, but when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, when he is telling the companions about sacrificing an animal for Eid al-Adha, the Udhiya, Qurbani, they asked the Prophet, مَا هَذِي الْأَضَاحِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, what is the significance of these sacrifices? And the Prophet ﷺ said, سُنَّةُ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, this is the tradition of your spiritual forefather, Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah refers to that here in Surah As-Saffat, رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Ibrahim alayhi salam and his wife were very old and they didn't have any children. And he begged and cried and asked for a child, and Allah granted him Ismail. فَبَشَّرْنَاهُ بِغُلَامٍ حَلِيمٍ, a beautiful son. فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ, but when he came of age, when he was old enough, قَالَ رَبِّي, قَالَ فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ قَالَ يَا بُنَيَّ إِنِّي أَرَى فِي الْمَنَامِ, Ibrahim alayhi salam said to Ismail, my son, I have been shown something in a dream. I have been shown something in a dream. Now, why is that so significant? Because the dreams of prophets are instruction from God. They are one of the ways that they receive that divine inspiration and guidance and instruction from Allah is through their dreams. So he says that I have been shown in a dream, أَنِّي أَذْبَحُكَ, that I am to sacrifice you. فَانْظُرْ مَاذَا تَرَى, so tell me what you think. قَالَ يَا أَبَتِ فَعَلْ مَا تُؤْمَرْ, he said, my father, please do what you've been told to do. سَتَجِدُنِي إِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مِنَ الصَّابِرِينَ, that very soon and indeed you shall find me amongst those who are patient. فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ, they both agreed and he laid him down for the sacrifice. وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَنْ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ, and then we called out to Ibrahim and we said, stop. قَدْ صَدَّقَتَ الرُّؤْيَا, you have fulfilled the dream, the instruction that Allah had given to you. إِنَّا كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ, we reward those who are willing to go to whatever lengths they need to go to in order to please Allah, in order to obey Allah. إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُ الْبَلَاءُ الْمُبِينَ, this was a mighty test. This was a great test. وَفَدَيْنَاهُ بِذِبْحٍ عَظِيمٍ, but y'all succeeded. So now we replace the sacrifice of Ismail by telling you to offer the sacrifice of an animal. And this will be considered a very noble sacrifice. This will become a tradition, an act of worship that will be upheld for millennia to come. وَتَرَكْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْآخِرِينَ, and it will be passed on. سَلَامٌ عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ, may the peace and blessings of God be upon Abraham. كَذَلِكَ نَجْزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, this is how we reward those who excel in doing good. إِنَّهُ مِنْ عِبَادِينَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, indeed he was from amongst the servants of God who are true believers. So you have this beautiful, powerful example of faith and devotion and loyalty and commitment captured within this powerful story here. Okay. The next reflection that I will share here from the message of the 23rd juz is the next surah, surah number 38, is called Surah Sad, because it begins with the word, the letter Sad. Okay, so in that surah, again, we have some more stories that are mentioned. And we have another very powerful, very familiar, and beautiful story that is mentioned here. And that is the story of the Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam. Job, the Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, or Job. The Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam is the example of patience. Patience in the face of any and all hardship. It said that the Prophet Ayyub alayhi salam, he was a very handsome, healthy, wealthy person who had a very large and beautiful family. He was a prophet of God. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to teach, to give us a practical example and provide guidance for us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested him. So it said that either his family died or they had to leave and move away because he became afflicted with this disease and illness where his skin, his flesh was rotting. And he lost all of his wealth. He lost his business. He lost his property. Nobody could stand to be around him with him being in such terrible condition. And either his family died or his family also had to move away because of that. And he suffered in this condition for years and years and years. And he makes dua, idnada rabbahu. He calls out to his Lord, anni masaniya shaytanu binusbin wa adab. Shaytan is coming and trying to mess with my head. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, urkud birijilika. Strike your foot on the ground. هَذَا مُخْتَسَلٌ بَارِدٌ وَشَرَابٌ. And where he struck his foot on the ground, a spring popped up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this will be a place where there will be this cool, you know, colder temperature, cool, clean water, pristine. So bathe within it. And when he does, وَوَهَبْنَا لَهُ أَهْلَهُ وَمِثْلَهُمْ مَعَهُمْ رَحْمَةً مِنَّا. And his family was returned back to him. And not only that, but his family grew after that point. وَذِكْرَى لِيُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. And Ayyub alayhi salam remains an example for till the end of time for people on how to persevere and how to be patient and how to stay strong and always to turn back to Allah. And never become ungrateful to Allah. Never complain about Allah. But always remain very patient and devoted and dedicated. And there will be a great reward that will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And relief and reprieve that will be gifted to you by Allah. The next surah, surah number 39, is called Surah Az-Zumar. This speaks about a group of people being led to paradise and a group of people being led to hell in the next juz number 24, it's there. But in the beginning of this surah, Allah says, "Ala lillahi dinul khalis." For Allah alone is the pure practice of the religion. Later on in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again makes mention, "Qulillaha أَعْبُدُ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ دِينِي. That I worship Allah solely and only for Allah. إِنِّي أُمِرْتُ أَنْ أَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ دِينِي. I've been commanded to worship purely for Allah. So multiple times, not once, but multiple times here within this surah, you have this mention of purity, ikhlas, sincerity, purity, ikhlas. Repeatedly it's mentioned. It's very important. Now, how do we achieve that purity, that sincerity? So there are two things. Number one, you need knowledge. You need to understand what is right, what is wrong. Who is Allah? Why should you worship Allah? How do you worship Allah? Knowledge is very important. And number two, then you need action. You need devotion. You need amal. You need worship. You need practice. And both of those things are mentioned in the surah. أَمَّنْ هُوَ قَانِتٌ أَنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ سَاجِدًا وَقَائِمًا يَحْذَرُ الْآخِرَةَ وَيَرْجُو رَحْمَةَ رَبِّهِ. That the person who stands all night long, prays all night long in sajda, standing, they fear the punishment of the hereafter, but they hope for the mercy of their Lord. And then Allah says, قُلْ say to them, O Muhammad, هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Can the people who know and the people who don't know ever be equal? It's a rhetorical question. No, they cannot. So you got to know your religion and then you got to pray. You got to learn and practice. And how do you learn? The first step, the first part of learning is actually listening. The first part of learning is listening. We talk before we listen. The lecture cannot be over. The lesson is not even over. And we're like, I have a question. I have an objection. Well, what about this? What about that? We haven't even finished the lesson. So we have to learn to listen. So Allah says, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِ. Congratulate my servants. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. Excuse me. Those who listen very attentively and carefully and diligently to the word of God, to the teachings of the Prophet ﷺ. And after they listen very attentively and carefully, they let it finish. Then what do? فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. Then they go and they try to practice it to the best of their ability. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ هَدَاهُمُ اللَّهِ. Those are the people whom God has guided. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. And those are the people of true intelligence. So with that, I'm going to conclude here the discussion on the 23rd juz of the Quran. It's part of our series on the message of the Quran. Now, before I let you go, I want to draw your attention to this website, supportqalam.com. This website right here, supportqalam.com. I want you to go to that link and I want you to donate. I want you to support. I want you to secure your sadaqah jariyah. And I want you to make sure that this knowledge that we're presenting here and so much more can reach every single person in the world. That we can create more scholars so we have more and more teachers. That we can pass this knowledge on to our future generations. So go to supportqalam.com. Be a part of the cause, be a part of the work, be a part of the mission. Jazakumullah khairan. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.